Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
We are fired up and ready to go, just like County Councilwoman Marty Hawk. She joins us every Wednesday with a litany of things to talk about. It's your money, it's county government, it's budgets, it's everything else. Marty, good afternoon. How are you?
I am fine. I just determined to keep a smile on my face no matter how much plumbing problems I have. You know, you just have to rise above it.
I told you last week we had the plumbers out, oh, maybe 10 days, 2 weeks ago. And, yeah, they you need them when you need them. And,
absolutely. And grateful.
And
grateful when they show up.
Absolutely. I'm not going in the crawl space looking for I can't handle that. I will gladly pay my ducats for it. But we have busy things to do. County government is always busy. Last week you told us about a sensitivity training program. I don't know if I have the adjective there correct, but Cheryl Munson was mentioning how maybe with this time and maybe with the lack of extra money laying around, this isn't a time to do it. Where are we? Have we moved on since that, our last discussion?
Well, it's supposed to be on our agenda for at our next regular meeting, October 6th. It just seems to me that what we ought to do is get our fiscal impact statement, look at our revenues and our budgets, and say, do we have to do this right now? First of all, is it really needed for everybody in the county or maybe just the department head so that they can train their departments?
Well, that's a big chunk of change, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's well over $300,000, in addition to which that doesn't cover the cost of the employees. And, you know, they're going to all be required to do at least 15 hours minimum, every county employee that takes this. Now, I just don't know how the county commissioners can tell the other elected officials what their departments must do, but I guess that's between them and let them decide that. But it should be up to the county council as to where the dollars are going to come from and recognize that when you have, like the highway department, they have like 54 employees. Well, if you take 54 employees times 15 hours and what the average per hour is, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of training expense.
So that would be on top of the training in general. You'd have to pay, well, because obviously they're not working for free. They're not being trained for free. So that would take them away from their other job as well.
Right. And what we have to remember is that every time an employee cost goes up at the highway department, it's not coming out of county general. It's coming straight from that bituminous line, you know, to fill our potholes and whatever. Because if the revenue for that goes down, then we have less money to pay our county employees. And we'll just see how that works out. To say that the money we already have in place for training is appropriate to be used for this, it just sort of, maybe that dog should be out there. it really is to say, well, we didn't really need to be trained for anything else. And, of course, the highway department, that's not true. They've got so many brand-new employees because they've had, you know, big turnover and some new drivers and so forth. And so before they get out there on the road doing snow plow removal and whatever, we don't just say, here's your keys, go get them, you know. There's a lot of training going on in each of the departments for their specific job performance. So hours spent for training is really hours spent for training, and it costs money for that. Whether it's in addition to, or they just will have less training for something else, but that's up for everybody to work out.
The decision will be made
by a majority of the county council.
There we go, and the county council handles the finances of how this works, and as you mentioned last week, Cheryl Munson, who does this for a living, gave her 2 cents and put that in there, and we'll see how that moves.
You talked about Penny Githens, maybe.
Oh, Penny Githens, excuse me. I don't know why I said Cheryl Munson.
Well, I was trying to believe every word you were telling me, but I was I had a question in my mind.
That's why I have you on every Wednesday to clear up any misgivings. A big story we saw over the weekend, and I live on that part of town, and I've even had a couple things tacked on my door. Hey, look out. Republic's looking to build something in the trash world down there. Well, they already have a huge trash thing down there. So tell me what I need to know, how the Solid Waste District is involved with this and what we're trying to accomplish.
Right. It is a trash transfer facility. Remember when there was a movement to have a trash transfer facility over here on the west side?
Yeah, in somebody's backyard.
Along with all those businesses and so forth. It appears this might be something very, very similar. But to be very clear, it is not a landfill. It's not a recycling facility or a recovery facility. It is a transfer facility. And it's located right there in an area where that type of thing might be placed. And I know there's a lot of neighbors concerned about it. Hopefully it's not somebody who built there recently, because they're already right there next to a trash facility and also the water treatment facility. It's in that the general area. So I believe that this is supposed to be competition for the other people that are already in business doing that might be helpful. I don't know, because that's not something the county council votes on. It's not in our bailiwick at all. It was something that the Solid Waste District had to consider, if I'm understanding it correctly. That's the reason why it went to them. But I do not believe it will come to the county council. It may go, like, to the Board of Zoning Appeals, just if they have to do a different kind of driveway in or some such thing, or just regular planning commission. If that happens, it might have to go to county commissioners, but I can think of no reason why it would come to the county council, because it's not part of county budgeting. So, and a lot of people think we do other things, but really we're supposed to just be doing county budgeting.
Well, that's it, but we always turn to you for answers if it's not happening within Bloomington's metro, well, in the city limits. So you have to be well-versed in everything.
Well, we try. But you know, something that we have in the city limits and outside of the city limits is all of our wonderful animals, and some of which get lost, and some of which some unthinking people just abandon them, but each year we pay into a pot of money for the animal interlocal agreement for the care of those animals, and that's right at $357,000 for that. So every time you hear somebody thinking they can just drop off all their puppy dogs and kittens out at Farmer Jones' house, and Farmer Jones might not want that, that's costing everybody dollars, and it's just a sad thing to do. So please, everybody, take care of your animals and remember to spay and neuter. Because
it's Bob Barker. That's what he says, right? It runs up the bill. Just bought a brand new facility and got that rolling in the same direction. So that was built, not bought, down there on Walnut Street as well. Marty Hawk's our guest. County Councilwoman checks in. What else? The Monroe Fire District, Marty. They're going to get a quite a large grant.
Right.
And when I hear the word grant, I think short term, and that's maybe not the case here.
Well, actually, it is the case, and good for you for recognizing that, because it isn't like as if it's free money forever. But what that is going to do is going to, like, it's going to be enough to cover, like, 14 full-time firefighters for that Monroe Fire District. And then when that runs out, I think you said it would be 2 or 3 years before that grant dollars would be used up. By that time, that additional amount of revenue will be coming in from others joining in with the fire district, as well as their revenue will go up, because that income tax, their proportionate share of all of the income tax coming in, they will receive a bigger proportionate share of that. Remember, not that the township fire departments do not necessarily receive the regular 1% of the income tax, but the Monroe Fire District and before the Perry Clear Creek Fire District, they received a proportionate share just like the library did. But now they'll get a bigger amount because the footprint of their total levy will be much higher, and that's how it's split up. And whoops, I can't talk. I know this
very popular. Very, very popular. Well, so the good news is this will get their feet underneath, and they will let them get put together. We'll let hires and training and all that happen, and then when all the income tax is in place and everything is set up and ready to go, it's a smoother transition.
Right, and what we have to remember is how does this benefit everybody else in that district? What's going to happen is they had planned to have to do some short-term borrowing, which means that they're going to have interest that they would have to be paying out in order to operate because the money was not going to be sufficient to operate that first year until their revenue started coming in the first year and a half. Well, now this ought to make it so that they will not have to borrow. So that's good news as well. I think that's going to get them out of that hole a whole lot quicker. So good news. And now the other good news from the state, we'll be meeting with the state Board of Accounts tomorrow morning, and they're going to be going through a meeting with us to talk to us about the how we can better use that CARES money. I know for county government at one time not long ago it was like $4 million that we had not used, and that was true throughout the state where it was not really being used as best as what they had hoped we would. And now they're saying, well, now you can use it for like public safety employees or projects or whatever, even if you had already budgeted for it, and they're going to show us how we would do a corrective entry so that we would back it out of that regular budget and that put it into like a grant budget and reimburse and so forth. So that's good news, too, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to perhaps help that to also help the fire district because we don't want them to have to go out and borrow money. Anyway, that is our hope. And this morning, the county commissioners did go ahead and approve the beginning stages for the Washington Township to join that fire district. And that was is something that's required so that they can move forward with their getting all their public feedback and so forth for Washington Township. Remember, we just did all that for Benton Township, and now they're working with it with Washington Township. So pretty soon, wherever you are in the county, you might be seeing a change in what kind of public services that you're going to be receiving. Of course, those things always cost money. and when your
right.
house is on fire, you're not trying to save money. So that at least we've been talking about it. No one could say, hey, you didn't tell us. I mean, we made every effort to make sure that people did know. But just talking about where we're putting our money right now, in the Solid Waste District, we pay into the Solid Waste District, and you know they've had a separate legal representation for a long time, and now they're going to do an interlocal agreement with the county and pay the county $300 a month for some of our legal people to go in and be the legal representation for the Solid Waste District, unless there should be some kind of a situation where they should not be doing it, and that's a part of the agreement. And that's supposed to start, I believe, in January, but they had to get that approved yet this year to get it going. So there's lots of things going on. I know with Lisa Rich with Public Works, we were talking about trying to get back to Red Hill Road and get that finished up and the Old Dutch Church Road and get all of that work finished up. And, of course, they're very busy right now trying to get the mowing done and tree removal.
Well, thankfully it hasn't rained. Nothing's growing. That's the good news in that department.
Right, absolutely. So,
now, Marty, one thing else I wanted to ask you about, is the new, what is the say for the county council for the new library? Because I know they're having plans, and we're gonna. There's an $8.8 million project design. There's a $7.something million project design. Where does the council have anything to do with that?
Well, we very well might have had, depending on what their total budget is. You know, the library board's not elected. They're appointed. And the state government did change the rules recently, saying who would represent them, having to do with fiscal issues. And so I was very concerned that you know, we had to all make a decision as to who was supposed to be the fiscal representation there. The answer came back, it appeared to me, as they were saying, only if they went over a certain amount would they then have to come to ask for that change. So I don't think we're going to hear it, but then I saw that they're going to do some changes on the cost of it. Didn't I see something like $1 million more because they'll be putting a garage underneath instead of
They have a couple options, and one is at like 7.6 or 7.7, and one is at 8.8. So I'm not sure which one, if either, puts them over the limit that gets you involved. So I'd have to go back and look at that.
Right. We've not been told that that's going to be on, you know, something for us to look at again. But, you know, we always sometimes get a big old surprise. I keep waiting for them to say, okay, and by the way, we're going ahead with this, you know, with this park that they had talked about. I was surprised to get an email the other day saying that on our agenda we're going to be looking at a bond issuance that was going to be over $5 million. Well, what had been presented to us was $3 million. So, and maybe there's a very real reason for this. And so I sent back saying, I don't understand. Nobody's explained it to me. So maybe it's something I should have just known somehow. But I didn't. And I just remember we were presented with $3 million. So why we're saying $5 million plus $5,300,000, whatever it is. I'll be happy to get the answer to that. The other thing is, when we were looking at our budget presentations and our projection of revenue, the dollar amounts that were entered for projected revenue, miscellaneous revenue for the end of this year and all next year was very, very optimistic. And so when they went back and looked at it, it looks as if it's going to be at least $1 million short of the numbers that we were using. But I would far rather know what the realistic number is so that we can be more cautious as we go along.
Yeah, $1 million, that's a big eraser on a big pencil.
Well, right. And what I'm trying to figure out is, with this huge amount that they're talking about for the special training, since they've already sent out the notice for the department heads to tell them when's a good time to start doing it, and they plan to start doing it right away before the end of the year, then obviously it appears maybe commissioners already have that in their budget, and they therefore won't even need the county council's approval. remember they did that once with that parking garage?
Yes, they did. And that was about, what, $10 million?
It was huge. They did it out of their CUMCAP budget. So, I don't know. I guess we'll find out, won't we?
Well, you'll let me know next Wednesday, I bet.
Right. And also, remember, our public hearing for people to come and tell us what you think, whether it's solid waste, whether it's any of county government, it's the Monroe County Fire District, and all of the county budgets, including the innkeeper's tax, including the tourism dollars and so forth. All of that will be open for public discussion October 6th at 5 o'clock. And then our adoption meetings, I received a notice that said they think we're going to do public comment at adoption meetings, which we don't normally do that, but we'll find out. Our adoption is now changed from the 19th and the 20th, and we better hope everything goes smooth as silk, because after that, I'm told they only have 5 days to get it all entered at the state, or, you know, that's it. You know, you've got 5 days, so that gives them, hopefully they'll get it done then before that Friday. So,
well, you'll keep us updated. I know that. That's why we talk to you every Wednesday, to make sure everybody stays on time.
I've got to tell you, the auditor's office has a huge, huge job looking at them with all of this change in how we can use this CARES Act money.
That's a lot of coins, yeah.
It's going to be gigantic, right? So I thank you for letting me take time today to talk with people to say, hey, this is what we're doing with your money.
That's it. It is your money. If you live in the county, which most people listening to this program do, that's where it happens. Next Wednesday is will be October, believe it or not, Marty. So we'll talk to you next month.
Okay. Thank you so much.